Before we read the scripture together, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit's presence and help, because without the Spirit, we don't really understand it. Please join me in prayer. Lord, please send your Spirit into our hearts so that we understand your word, live it, and yield a harvest of righteousness. Amen. Today's scripture is from Matthew 13, which can be found on page 1392 of your pew Bible. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then continuing on verse 18. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord.
Pastor Henry and Pastor Lisa are more disciplined than I am. I'll admit it right away. When they preach, they keep it to a reasonable length. When I preach, I know there are many in the congregation who would love to do this to me. But just reflecting on that, on sermons and preaching, what does it really mean? Does it make any sense at all? Is it worth something? And if so, what? How effective is it? And let's extend that a little bit. How about what's happening in church school? How about everything we do as a church, the stuff we do during the week? We keep ourselves busy doing all sorts of stuff. We make lots of sacrifices to be a church. And we try to give our witness in the world, but does it make any real difference? You know, in today's life, let's admit it, all these big existential crises we face, the church doesn't have much of a voice in all of that, does it? We have trade wars, we have autocrats worldwide who rule by power and might and domination. And our voice as a church throughout the world seems so incredibly weak. Does it make any sense to do this anymore, to bring the word of God in the world, here in church, but also beyond church in our everyday lives? Does it make any sense when this new technology that we have of social media and all that kind of stuff drowns out our witness? Everybody talks today, and nobody listens. It drives me crazy when you see these shows on TV where they just talk through each other. Folks, simmer down. Give a chance for people to talk so others hear, and then you'll get your turn. That's not the way the world works anymore. It's yap, yap, yap. In the media, we're bombarded by it. And you wonder, what's even the point of trying to bring God's word in this world? And you could easily give up and just despair. And we know that many have given up. And they said, you know, church, they just fight with each other. There's no percentage there. And it's just not meaningful in my life. And they walk away and it hurts. Get you pretty distressed, despairing. Let's just all go home, even if I don't take too long. Well, Jesus knows what that feels like. He in every way was like us, sin accepted. Jesus tried to see him out of practice, right? There we go. Jesus was in his hometown and he preached and they wanted to throw him off this cliff. That's the cliff they wanted to throw him off. That's how mad they got. Nobody's ever done that to me in my entire career. Nobody's ever tried to throw me off a cliff. But he knows what it's like to fail. His disciples didn't have a clue what he was talking about as he was instructing them. The people did not listen to him, and the leaders were out to murder him. And it's in that time when Jesus asked the same question, might have asked the same question we ask, what's the point? What's the use? Why do this? He takes a story from the farm, and he tells that story to tell us exactly why he kept doing what he did and why he encourages us not to give up. He tells the story of a sower who goes out to sow. And the sower sows the seed, and he works hard because it's hard work. And he meets with failure after failure after failure. The birds come and take a whole bunch of that seed, and it's useless. And this is precious stuff. They could be eating this. And remember, they're in a culture where people kind of lived from day to day, from season to season. And so that was precious seed, and he's throwing it away. And a bunch of birds eat it. And then some of it falls on ground that just isn't going to do it either. Thorns and thistles grow up. Another failure, and yet a third failure. The earth is not deep enough. The soil in some places isn't good enough. And then this, the weeds come and they eat it all up and they mess it all up. So why bother doing it? Why does the farmer go out and risk all those failures? And Jesus says it's because he keeps his eye on the harvest. He doesn't look at the failures. He looks at what will result, what will come. He looks at a harvest that is going to increase the seed that he has given up to the soil. And it's going to multiply it. Now, in those days, a really, really good harvest, a bumper crop, was 8 times what you sowed. That was the absolute best that you could hope and pray for, was that that seed would multiply by 8, and you'd have to put one eighth of that away for next year, and then you could live on the 7/8, and that's in a really good year. But Jesus says, this is why we need to bother bringing the gospel, celebrating it together, educating ourselves in the gospel, and sharing it with those who need to hear it in word and in deed. Because there are so many failures and so few successes, but Jesus says, this you need to know. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Do you ever notice this in the parable? How much there's going to be a harvest? There isn't a farmer alive in Palestine who thinks he's going to get this kind of growth from what he sells. Not in those days. Like I said, bumper crop 8 times, and Jesus is saying there's going to be 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Wow. That's an incredible harvest. And that's what you need to keep your eye on. But why is there such a big harvest? Well, you got to think through the parable. It is because God guarantees that kind of a harvest for those who will sow the seed of the Word of God. Because as the prophets have told us over and over and over again, God's Word will not return to Him empty. God's Word is going to bring a bountiful harvest even when you cannot see it right away. And brothers and sisters, Jesus proved it. He had 11 disciples left, right after Judas. 11. They were fishermen, they were tradesmen, they were not educated in any seminary, they were not theologians, and yet from those 11, the Word of God in their mouth brought us to 11, to billions and billions of people today who love Jesus, who believe in Jesus because of their word. And it wasn't easy for them. They met with disaster after disaster after disaster. And yet, through their testimony, God gave an incredible harvest. So for us too, is it worth it? Is it worth it what we're doing here? Look at the baptisms. Look at the kids in Faith Walk. Look at what is happening with the things that we are doing. There are people who make sandwiches every week in this church. They go out, they help the needy. We just have the Ecuador team coming back tomorrow, right? They fixed a lot of hips. They did a lot of work in Jesus' name. In Honduras, the team came back. Came back with great stories to tell. Not just of what they did in building cement floors, but in relating to those people, sharing the gospel together of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, when we look in the two-thirds world, we see an incredible expansion of the Christian gospel today. It seems as if the Spirit may at once have been very active in Europe, then North America, and now that Spirit may be much more active. That wind of God's Spirit blows where it wills, but it keeps blowing, and people keep coming to Jesus Christ through that word of witness. In word and deed. The Church of Jesus Christ continues to grow in a world despite all the many, many failures. And that's why Jesus encourages us, take the risk. There will be a harvest. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Why does Jesus end the parable with that? Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. The reason is that we need to have faith. Just as that farmer needs to have faith, we too need to have faith. We need to know that that harvest is truly coming, or else we might just give up. We need to allow God to work in God's time. Last week, Pastor Lisa told us that. We need patience for God to act. We need to be willing to keep on keeping on during the time when there are failures, when we don't see God working. God will do it. He promises. It's an act of faith for us to keep on giving, just as it is an act of faith for the farmer to keep on sowing when everything seems to be lost. That's precisely the time we need the faith to know that God will indeed bring us that amazing harvest. When we look at Van Gogh's painting again, we see that. We see the farmer, and the farmer is doing his thing. And as you see there on the foreground, you see the ground is barren. You see the reflection of the sun that's scorching some of that seed. You see the bird, right, on the left? And so in this particular painting by Van Gogh, he's thinking through this parable. And what I love about this particular painting is that what he does is, despite all those failures, do you see what's in the background? Wait a minute, Brother Van Gogh, when you sow, you do not immediately reap. What's that big, big crop doing back there? And then there is this great big sun in the back. What's he saying? What's he doing? Well, Van Gogh had a very difficult life, lots of failures, lots of hardship. It would get him down all the time. And what he sees in the background is what is yet to come. That ain't there yet, folks, but it's coming. It ain't there, but it's coming. As the farmer sows, he sows in faith, knowing there will be this incredible harvest, and there will be this amazing sunshine as God's greatness dawns. Brothers and sisters, the parable of the sower is one that Jesus uses to tell us this. Our feeble light is enough to fill a darkening world. Our feeble light is enough to fill a darkening world. It is our mission, our calling, to reassure everyone, starting with our children and grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, our friends, our families, our classmates, and our world, the dawn will come. And this present darkness will not last. But Jesus Christ, our great King, the light of dawn, will rise for sure. And it's our job, despite all the setbacks, in spite of all the hardships, to continue together to bring that light in a dark world. And the darkness, Jesus says, will not overcome it. There's an abundant harvest. Oh, we see some of the fruits already, don't we? In so many different places. Amazing things that God does where we say, this is a God thing. But so much more is coming. The light will be there till Jesus returns. And the dawn and the sunshine will last forever. Keep on keeping on. Keep bringing that good word. And the harvest will be incredibly rich because God has promised. Amen. Let's sing.